This message is coming to you from the First Baptist Church in Coleraine, Massachusetts. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Mass., with Sunday worship at 11 a.m. and Sunday school for all ages at 9:45. And now, the scripture lesson and message.
Mark 16, 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. They were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning again. Nice to see you. Welcome, one and all. Great to have visitors with us this morning. It's Resurrection Sunday. The Lord is risen indeed. That was the announcement that the angel made that day to the ladies that went to the tomb. We make announcements in this church. And I read one time there was a church announcement, and it says for Easter services, because we have things out there to announce what's going on. For Easter services, we will ask Mrs. Smith to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. So, Easter's not just about Easter eggs or the Easter bunny, although yesterday we know the Easter bunny exists now that the kids are out. He does, because Spike and I saw him in Walmart up in Hinsdale. He was going through the checkout, and I said, "Look, they say the Easter bunny doesn't exist. There it is. We'll take a picture of it." Okay, so anyway, throughout the whole Bible, God has used angels to make special announcements to human beings. On that first Easter Sunday morning, as dawn was breaking, the world would be forever changed. A message, the message that the angel delivered was a special message. A message that is still as relevant and vitally important today as it was 2,000 years ago. It tells us about the women. They were the first to see the risen Lord Jesus. Her name was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, not me, and Salome. These three ladies, and they went to the tomb. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, again, I want to thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for the people who are here, that they've come, and they know that it's a special day because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And again, because you rose again from the dead, one day we too will rise again. And because we have faith in what you accomplished on that cross, we have a home waiting for us in heaven when we leave this world, where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. And we look forward to that day. And we thank you. And we just want to focus upon you, cast our minds back 2,000 years, to when indeed you did rise again from the dead. So help us to listen to this message, have our ears and our hearts open, and speak to us individually this morning, we pray. Amen. So the women, the three ladies, they delivered. They went to Jesus in the tomb. He wasn't there. But fear and dread filled the hearts of these three ladies mentioned on their way to the streets of Jerusalem that early sunrise Sunday morning. They were going to the tomb of a man named Jesus, who they all believed to be the Messiah. Of course, we know that he was. The man for whom they had left everything behind to follow. Now he was dead. They had witnessed his crucifixion on the cross, and he did die. They saw it with their very own eyes. And now they're on the way to the tomb of the man that had promised life to all who came to him, but now was in fact dead, having been crucified. Certainly they were very upset, to say the least, very confused, heartbroken, as they came nearer to the tomb where Jesus was buried. They were also worried that they wouldn't be able to get into the tomb because huge, heavy stones would cover the entrances of the tombs in Israel in those days. How would they ever gain access to the body, to anoint the body with spices and herbs and balms, with this great obstacle in the way? How could these three women ever hope to move such a heavy stone that weighed several hundred pounds all by themselves? But by faith they went. And how would they get past the Roman guards that had been set in front of the tomb to prevent Jesus' disciples from taking the body of Jesus away? But as they came inside of the tomb, they were very surprised to see that the stone had been rolled away. And not only that, the Roman guards were laying around sleeping like babies in front of the opening of that tomb. That's according to Matthew's account. Seeing this with a stone rolled away, they ran and looked in, only to find that the body of Jesus was not there. It was gone. And fear gripped their hearts. They must have suspected that some grave robbers had taken the body of Jesus for whatever reason, or maybe Jesus had been buried in a shallow grave somewhere. They didn't know. But doubts and concerns that filled their hearts that day were short-lived, because suddenly, as Jesus' disciple Matthew described it, the women noticed a young man, as it said, a young man dressed in white sitting on top of that stone. This so-called young man was in fact an angel. And you don't see them every day, do you? Or do we? The Bible says we need to be hospitable because we may be entertaining angels unawares. They can take the form of human beings. So it's always best to be kind to everyone that we meet. You never know, it may be an angel. This angel sitting on top of that stone, once these women saw the angel, they were absolutely petrified. They were scared to death. Like I say, you don't see an angel every day, do you? He came there to deliver the message of hope that has and still has the power to change lives, even this morning. And he said, "Be not afraid. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." That's what they did. They put his dead body in that tomb. He's not there. It's appropriate that Jesus' resurrection should be a message of peace. He says, "Do not be afraid. Fear not." And after 2,000 years, His resurrection from the dead is still bringing that same message of peace to all those that believe in him. The only way you're going to find peace in this world is by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's not only a message of peace, it's also a message of power. Jesus rose again from the dead. He is risen. That's powerful. That's supernatural power. And because he's able to conquer death by rising again from the dead, everyone that receive him as their personal Savior become partakers of that same resurrection power. We become spiritually alive when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts to save us from our sins, and we make him our own personal Savior. It's a relationship. It's not, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Romans 6:8 says, "Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. For we know," and only a true believer in Jesus knows, "that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die. Death no longer has mastery over him." Every saved sinner is a testimony to the life-changing peace and power, life-giving power, of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. After all, a dead man doesn't have any power to change anyone, does he? You ever try talking to a dead person? You don't get any response at all. It's a one-way conversation. But a living Lord Jesus can work miracles in the life of anyone's life. And he still does. Why? Because Jesus is alive. He's very much alive. He's still active for the benefit of his people. Not only is the resurrection message a message of peace and power, it's also a message of promise. The angel says, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." He kept telling them before he was crucified that he was going to have to go to the cross and he was going to rise again, but they just didn't get it until he actually appeared to them in that upper room. The angel reminded these women of the promise that Jesus made to his followers before he even went to the cross, that he would rise again from the dead. And Jesus always told the truth. Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And no man comes unto the Father but through him. No other way. Jesus always keeps his promises. Amen? And they didn't need to be told twice, these women. What did the angel tell them? "Go and tell the disciples. He's going to be in Galilee. He's waiting for you there." They were petrified. They were so terrified that they ran off quicker than ferrets down a rabbit hole. You ever seen ferrets run down a rabbit hole? Neither have I, but it's just a great analogy, I thought. Anyway, the Bible says that the women, I mean, you've got to imagine, these women were absolutely, there's an angel. He's not here. How often do you see an angel? And they must have been shaking. It tells us here that they were trembling. In verse 8, they were trembling and bewildered. The older I get, the more bewildered I get, by the way. Okay. They were trembling and bewildered. The women went out and fled from the tomb. They just didn't. They fled. They ran. They fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone. Imagine, you're in Jerusalem. You see these women just flying by you, heading to where the disciples were. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They took off like some screaming banshees. Can you imagine? It's like, ah! I mean, it was like that. I mean, that's not bad, you know. They were screaming. Trembling and bewildered, they fled because they were afraid. You can imagine it. Have you ever heard it like this before? No. This is the first time. So, these three ladies had come to the tomb that morning very, very despondent, very, very depressed, expecting to see a dead man. And they left with the promise from the angel that they would see Jesus again. And they did. We know the rest of the story. They did meet up with the risen Lord Jesus again, along with all the rest of the disciples who didn't believe Jesus was alive. Hello? Is that another angel? Jesus, he was alive. And they didn't believe it until he actually appeared in the midst. The door was locked. They were afraid of being arrested by the Roman soldiers because they were followers of Jesus. They locked the door. They were trembling. They were bewildered. They were scared. They were depressed. They were despondent. They were brokenhearted. And Jesus came through the wall. And there he was in the midst, and alive, risen from the dead. They were hiding out in fear. You know, we may not be able to see the risen Lord Jesus with our eyes, but we have the same promise that one fine day we will see the risen Lord in heaven. Heaven, we know from what we've read in the Bible, is a wonderful place. In fact, we only get a glimpse of what it's like. We know the street is paved with gold. And eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But the greatest thing about heaven is the fact, well, there's no tears, there's no pain, there's no suffering. Our relatives that have gone on, we're going to meet them. We'll be reunited with them one day. We have that hope and that assurance. But the greatest thing, heaven's a wonderful place because we shall see the risen Lord Jesus, face to face, face to face. I wonder what he looks like, really. I wonder what it, well, one day we'll find out. We'll see him. We'll see him face to face. What a day that will be. Oh, my. So that first Easter Sunday, an angel delivered that message, that peaceful message, that powerful message, with a promise. Probably the most important message that's ever been delivered by an angel in the history of mankind. That he is not here. He is risen. Now we believers, we can praise the Lord this Easter morning. Amen. Because we know him in a personal way. Because he did rise again from the dead to take away our sins. How about you? Do you know that you're saved from your sins? This morning, do you know? You can. Do you know that Jesus is still alive? That he's still in the soul-saving business? Because he hasn't changed. He's the same. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's still blessing people today. He's still filling hearts with peace and joy because he lives in us. How can this be? Because he lives. Because what the angel said is still just as true today as it was that first resurrection Sunday 2,000 years ago. He is risen. He is not here. To that we say amen. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Do you see your need of the living Jesus this morning? I hope you do. If so, then you can go to him, ask him to save your soul. He's waiting to hear from you. He loves you. He died for you. He was put in the tomb. He rose again from the dead. He is alive. And he's just waiting to receive you. Are you willing? If you are, he can live in you, and you'll be guaranteed a home in heaven, and you will be resurrected just like the risen Lord Jesus was 2,000 years ago. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's close. Father, again, thank you for this true, this familiar story, this true story that we read in the Holy Bible, this account by your eyewitnesses. And they saw you alive and well, even though you were dead and died on that cross. But you had to die. You planned that. You came in order to die, to suffer the sins in our place as our substitute, so we wouldn't have to be punished for the sins that we commit. You did that for us. You took the nails for us. You took the flogging for us, the disgrace and the humiliation. You did that for us, the crown of thorns. And you did die, and they put you in a tomb. But you are very much alive because you rose again from the dead. And because you live, we can live also. Spiritually, we're all going to die. Everyone that's born is going to die. But we need to be born again by your Spirit so we can obtain a free gift of eternal life when we ask you by faith to save our souls. And I'm praying for somebody here, somebody listening this morning. I ask and pray that they would do that. Would say, Jesus, I know you are alive. I believe that you died on that cross. I believe they put you in a tomb. I also believe that you are risen from the dead, that you rose again from the dead. And I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed. And I ask you to come into my heart. I want you to save me, please, and give me a home in heaven when I die, and give me peace on earth. And if you prayed that prayer, continue to follow the Lord, read your Bibles, pray, and keep on coming to church where they preach and teach the gospel and fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ so you can grow in your faith. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving our souls. Thank you for making us whole. Thank you that you are alive. Thank you that one day that we will see you face to face. What a day that will be. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you all and happy Easter.